a good chodesh, chodesh shvat. It's Rosh Hashanah lilanois kedivrei Beis Shammai. Okay, so it's the beginning of Ilanois, the Paris. Let's learn the three pesukim of Erastechli. Let's read the pesukim again. Erastechli li'aylam. See? Mizmor, Perek Beis. Perek Beis, Pasik. Let's review the pesukim. Erastechli, Pasik Chafaf. Let's do these. So these are very... Pasuk, these are very famous sukkim. Pasuk that we say when we wrap the ritzuos around the finger of the tefillin, the ritzuos. Ve'rastich li le'olam. Hashem says, I will betrath you to me.
What does that mean?
Erisin. Erisin. It means when there are two parts to marriage. There is erisin and nisuin. Erisin is when the man is mekadesh the isha with one of three methods, either kesef, shtar, or bia. Today we only do kesef. Bia, Gemara says, is forbidden because of pritzos. We discussed that yesterday. Shtar, do not confuse shtar with kesuva. Kesuva has nothing to do with what it says in the mission, the first mission, the kedushin of shtar. Shtar is basically the same thing as a get, but instead of doing it to get married, to get divorced, the shtar is used to get married. What would you write in the shtar? You would write hare at mikudesh asli. That's it. You put those words on a piece of paper, and you give it to the kala, and they're married.
With edim.
With edim, you have to have edim. You have to sign the edim. Chasim b'karti, edim b'sirkarti. I don't know the technique and how exactly is that. I don't know. Do you have to have witnesses sign the shtar? I don't think so. Maybe you do. I do not know. Well, you have like divorce, so l'chari you have to have by kedushin also. I guess you write the name of the chasam, the name of the kala. And there is a nusach. I do not know what the nusach is. It's probably a short nusach. And by giving her this piece of paper, he hereby marries her. So what would be the advantage of getting married with shtar over getting married with kesef?
Save money.
Very simple. Save money. Kesef costs at least a prut. Machlokes beis Shammai beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says kesef is a pruta. You give a nickel. L'chor a nickel. L'chol hadeus is a pruta. A dime? It's a chumrah.
Like
a dime. It's a chumrah. Chumrah. Many places can say a penny is a pruta.
That's like a chumrah.
The smallest coin, the smallest coin in the country which you live is called a pruta. Does it mean the amount of a copper cutlet? If you want to say it's a value of a certain copper, so that might mean that may require us to give a nickel. I think those who make the calculations, and there's many years, maybe you're right. Maybe today it's changed, and it's more. It's a dime, but it's certainly not more than a dime. And some say no, it does not depend upon the value of copper the value of copper from Chazal, but instead it depends upon the smallest coin that is used in the currency of the country which you live. And today the smallest coin would be a penny. However, so that's according to Beis Hillel. That's how we paskin. Beis Shammai says you have to give her a silver. I think it's a silver coin, which would be much, much more, which would be today, what is this, what is it, where the calculations are, it's probably something like $5, $5, $10, according to Beis Shammai. Okay, so Beis Shammai holds you have to get something more valuable. Today, even though we don't pass like Beis Shammai, the value of a ring is certainly a lot more than a shekel lefi Beis Shammai.
It has nothing to do with its purchase value? Because you can't buy anything for a penny or a nickel, maybe a dime.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know the sugya. I don't remember the sugya. The only I remember is the in time of Chazal, we're able to figure out exactly how much copper is found in a pruta, and we can go just look it up online. What is the value of copper today? Right now, you find exactly that weight of copper. How much is it worth today? So if it's worth today that amount of copper, a barley seed, whatever it is, it'll be worth 3 cents. So then today the pruta will be worth 3 cents.
What? You go in comparison. You can do kedushin with figs. How many figs?
Figs. Okay, so you go to the market. How much does it cost in the market to buy a fig? A shove kesef. You don't have to give money. You don't have to give a medal. You can give shove kesef, which means you can give anything of value. That's what we do today. Today we do not give kesef. We give shove kesef. We give a tabas. A tabas is a ring. How much is a ring worth? The average general would it cost people to give the wedding band? $100, something like that. A silver wedding band. What? Okay, but so therefore we yaitza. I feel the Beis Shammai, but that's not necessary because we do not pass like Beis Shammai. Shtar is nothing. If a man is mekadesh mitzvah with shtar, he saves himself the pruta. because you can take a piece of scrap paper from the floor, but it has to at least be real paper. If I'm not mistaken, it has to be a cloth. Let's say it's not worth. Let's say you take it out of the garbage. It's not whatever the situation is. You find a piece of paper. I don't know the answer. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a piece of paper. It's sufficient as money as well. I do not know, but it does not have to have any value whatsoever. It could even be worth zero in the market, and you write with dioi, and you give it to the kala, and they're married. So the advantage of using a shtar is it does not cost any money. Why don't bizmanas have you never seen a marriage where they do shtar? It would take forever. They would have to come to the chasna. They have to have a cipher, and they would have to go and write it l'shma, l'shem this chas and this kala
with dioi, k'sav ashuris.
That's right, k'sav ashuris. And by a cipher who knows how to write, and it has to be the witnesses have to know how to sign k'sav ashuris with dioi. Yeah. It's a nightmare. A divorce, a get, Rachmana Litzlan, is a nightmare. Yeah. The get, it's a very complex process. The way it's done, you have to have a sefer, you have to have witnesses who know how to write, who sign their name in with a kolmus and with dioi, and you have to normally I think the sefer is also usually one of the eidim, because it's hard to get someone who knows how to sign the divorce, the get. It's a very complicated process. So it would cost...
Sorry, forgive me, it has to be the kagan as well?
No, again, I don't know, but I do not know about a shtar of marriage, but the minhag is no tagim on a get. There are no tagim. That's why is it like that? I don't know. Tagim is only in the Sefer Torah. A get, Rachman Lestlan, is written k'sav ashuris, but without tagim. I once asked this to a big dayan who does, that's his specialty. I was shocked he didn't know this. I guess he's not the one who does the writing. Wow. I asked him, he used to come and learn. He used to come and learn with his son, Tar Vidas. So he was there. So I started asking him some questions. I was curious with all these things that I heard about. How many lines to get? There are no tagim. And is there sirtut? Do you do sirtut? So he didn't know. Imamish didn't know. About all these, all the different technicalities of a get. He's not a soifer. He's a Masada Gitin. And he's a big, big Masada Gitin. In fact, he's very wealthy from this. This is his parnas. He makes a fortune of money from this. And I was like really, really shocked. You don't even know the basics of like. So I think he was a little bit embarrassed. So he came back to me the next day, and he answered all my questions with Amish to the T. But when I asked the question, like, he was a little baffled. It's not a specialty. He is the Mesader Get. He hires a Sofer. The Sofer does the Sofer. I mean, it's a specialty. There are people that's the Parnas also. They're Sofering for, it takes over an hour. They come there, and they have to instruct the Sofer that the Sofer should write the Get, l'shem this man. What? And then he has to sit and write it. And he said, and it takes a long time.
I'm an interpreter. I work with deaf people, so with empathy, I go to the RCA.
Yeah.
But they're built for it, you know.
It's a fortune of money. It's a very expensive proposition to get divorced.
I think it's about $600, I think.
For the get, for the
seat. I think so. Wow.
The ksuba is $60,000. A person gets divorced, you ask for a ksuba. The ksuba today is about $60,000.
Yeah.
A person gets married, you're signing away your life. He's signing Yiksuba.
Who made that amount? $60,000?
That's what Rav Moshe talks about. Rav Moshe said about 25 years ago, it was $30,000. About 30 years ago. Rav Moshe said the Yiksuba is about $30,000. So figure the cost of living, inflation, today, 30 years later, it's probably doubled. I would imagine if it was $30,000 30 years ago, it's doubled today. So okay, whatever it is.
It's not worth it to get divorced.
I buy sometimes old sperm. So I bought a sefer written by some Rav, the lowly side, who was a specialist in Gittin. What came along with the sefer was an envelope of Gittin that he had written. You don't give the get to the principals in the get. You
keep it.
Correct.
You keep it.
So I had an envelope. So the envelope must have had 20 Gittin in it. Some of them were written mamish on notebook paper.
Okay.
And some were on fancy, thicker
cardstock. Cardstock. I think they use a certain card. I don't know if they use a certain cardstock.
Yeah, and on that they did sirtut.
Sirtut. They did sirtut. And tagim. Any tagim? There's also a minute that you destroy the get. See, I know he kept it. He probably would they make cuts in it.
Sometimes I've seen them from other places that they put perforations in them. Uh-huh. The thing that perforates the
according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it seems that after the get is given, you're supposed to basically destroy the get. Why? No one should come along 20 years later and say the get was puzzle. It was not written, it was a mistake. And then if the woman remarried, her children are mamzerim. So to avoid, no one should come make problems, later on you destroy the get and you give them a receipt. The Beis Din writes, we are the Beis Din, we were masada the get was given, and here is the receipt. Here
both
is,
of them get receipts?
Yeah. They get a receipt.
Do they have to hold the get like a super?
No. The husband and wife? Yeah. Definitely not.
They don't even get the get.
They give them the get. The husband gives the get to the wife. They're divorced in front of witnesses, and then the Beis Din takes back the get. And the Beis Din destroys the get. So no one should come along 20 years later.
In front of them?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. No one should come along 20 years later and say, oh, look, it wasn't spelled right. You made a spelling mistake in the name, or this was not right, that was not right. And therefore, the woman was never divorced. And now when she remarried, all of her children are mamzerim. We don't want that. And halacha allows, what you don't know, it's good. If you don't know...
The documentation is that little receipt?
Yeah. And the Beis Din has records.
That's the personal documentation. The Beis Din... They generally file it. They don't destroy it. They don't destroy it, mamish. They perforate it or...
There are different customs. There are different bati dinim have different guidelines.
I heard the husband drops it into the woman's hands.
There are different ways. I don't know. There are different ways to do it. I don't know. Shaliach, right. They're all
so
there.
So what is supposed to get is then destroyed?
They're different. The Gemara talks about the basic halachas, the very bare bones of what needs to be done. Halacha lemaisa in the Beis Din, they have Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch talks about how halacha lemaisa the custom is to do. The things that we do that are done today are not required according to halacha. These are customs, and the customs were in response to problems that came about over many, many years. And they give the married, they give them a receipt, and the Beis Din most importantly has records. Every Beis Din, any real Beis Din has records. Every single thing that happens in court is on record. And that's very important because there are always issues which come up years later and you want to go back to videotape exactly what were the proceedings, what happened over here. Okay, let's go. So over here we have over here. So I say over here, do not confuse this shtar. People always make this mistake. Do not confuse the shtar in the Mishnah Masechta Kiddushin with the Kesuvah. The Kesuvah has absolutely nothing to do with the shtar Kiddushin. The shtar Kiddushin is a technique how a man marries a woman. It is never done. It can be done, but it is never, ever, ever done today because it's ridiculous to do it. Because who's going to want to go do it? You want to go get a sefer and you want to have write a lishma and you have to have witnesses. It's a nightmare to do it. The way you do it is kesef. Kesef is the husband gives the woman an object of value, harayat mikudeshes, in front of witnesses, and it's over. When we have a ksuva is after they already married, it is erisin, and there is nisuin, and now the chazal have stepped in and said that a man has obligations to his wife. And the main obligation is, in the event of death or divorce, he has to pay his estate, his assets. There is a lien on his assets to pay his wife the amount of money that she needs to rebuild, to live at least comfortably for 1 year. That is meant as a deterrent not to get divorced. If a man knows that if he's going to divorce his wife, he's going to have to shell out a huge sum of money, he will think twice before he gets divorced. And this was an enactment which was very beneficial because people would get upset that their wives have a fight, and then after 5 minutes, he would call in a sefer, he would write a get for $5, he gives his wife a get lost. So in order to prevent a person from doing that, Chazal said it has to be a ksuba. So the ksuba is not to be confused with what we call the shtar. Now here we have the pasuk, ve'erastich li le'olam, I will betrath you to me forever. Number two, ve'erastich li, I will betrath you to me, betzedek. Now I say with, it's not with. The way most of the mafarshim learn it means in reward. It's in reward for the tzedek, the mishpat, uvechesed, uverachamim.
Hashem
is saying this. In reward for them, the long years of Golus, the Jewish people have demonstrated tzedek, they have demonstrated mishpat, They have demonstrated chesed and rachamim. We'll see them in the Mepharshim with many different interpretations of what this means. Hashem says, in reward for that, when Mashiach comes, I will be your chassan. I am going to be to you as a chassan. We're going to be married. Uveirastich li be'emunah. I will betrath you to me in reward for the faith that you have had in me in the long years of Golis, the Odat, and then you will know Es Hashem. Two beautiful psukim. We say this every single day. Every single day except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. When you wrap the Ritzuis around your middle finger, when you make that Tabas Kedushin, like I told you yesterday, the Tabas Kedushin, and here it is. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos Dov. We discussed some ideas yesterday. We're just going to discuss and have some more ideas. In the Mitzudos Dov, Pasuk of the Pasuk, Chafal Ve'erastich, Ve'erastich, Ekach Oysach Liyos Arusasi, Ad Oylon. So he's very clear, it means forever. This does not mean there's no reward here. This is just a statement. This is a statement. Forever you will be to me my Arusa. Arusa is your my Kala. My Velo Emas Od Bach. I will no longer detest you. I'm on the Mitzudos David on page 39 on the bottom. Velo Emas Od Bach. I will no longer detest you. The next words, Betzedek of Mishpat. Now here the Mitzudos is very, very important to understand what he says. Ba'avur. Why am I going to marry you? Why am I going to be your chassan? It's in reward, ba'avur ha-tzedek ve-ha-mishpat, she-ta'asi oz, that you have done for me then. Oz, l'chore, means in the past, and this oz means in the past. For all of the tzedek and the mishpat that you have exercised in the long years of galus, uva'avur ha-chesed ve-ha-rachamim she-se-imoch. Now, this is a very novel interpretation of the pasuk. We say this every single day. We should know what we're saying. And what I will do, the tzedek and the mishpat is what we have done. The chesed and the rachamim is what Hashem will do. It's almost, I can't say these words, these are very scary words, a double ring ceremony. It is reciprocation. Okay, a double ring ceremony is in the kedusha. It's not even a kosher kedusha. It's not a kosher kedusha. It's a very big problem in the modern world. People in the very, very modern circles, they demand of rabbanim. You don't hear this now, community, but you go out of town, outside the Dalai Lama's of the metropolitan area, people demand of the rabbi, the Orthodox rabbi, to have a double ring ceremony. Just like the chassan gives the kala a ring, the kala gives the chassan a ring. So it's problematic. Because it appears, no matter how you're going to fudge it, it appears that there's a chalipin, there's some type of exchange, or there's some type of who's marrying who, is the chassan marrying the kal marrying the chassan. It can give the wrong impression. According to, if it's done in a way which is not clear, it can actually disqualify the marriage. They're not married. Okay, if people want to give a double ring ceremony, so you can give it after the wedding is over. Chassan gives the kala, he gives it the tabas kedushin, And then, when the wedding is over, so she can go, whatever, you want to go make some nonsense ceremony? Kazunta hate. Now, I always thought it was a crazy thing that a man should wear a marriage ring. And then I got a little older and smarter. Even my B'nai Torah, I know I have a friend who's a real Ben Torah. He's a real shock. He wears a marriage ring. Shocking, right? He wears a marriage ring. I mean, he grew up in a Haredi home. Mamish, the real deal. Much more Haredi home than I grew up in. He wears a marriage band. He's a little shiggle wild guy. What's going on over here? And then I found out, because this guy has a tendency to do things that are not so caught. And when a woman sees that a man has a marriage band, they stay away. And where he works. He works in a very secular environment. You know, for him, it's a very important thing that he should be wearing a marriage band. Because it keeps people away from him. Forget about...
It reminds him too.
That's irrelevant. I don't know. I'm not so sure. Now he's really solid. But now it's many years later. But when he was much younger, you know, he had issues. Okay, he had issues, and I don't know if he looked at his marriage band, and maybe his wife wanted to wear the marriage band. I don't know. Why? Not because she wants him to, that he should think of her. Watch out. You know, this is a married guy. There's something to it. Believe me, it's a pretty good idea. When you get old, a lot of things that you think are so foolish, you realize, you know, it's not such a bad idea. If it works, it works. People, they see the marriage band, they know, stay away. This guy is already taken. He's taken. It solves half the problems. But it's hapi halacha. There's no such thing. Hapi halacha. It's a one way street. The man gives the woman the tabas kedusha. But here it's a very fascinating interpretation of the pasuk that it's a reciprocal, because of the chesed, the tzedek, and the mishpat that we have exercised in our history. Hashem will reciprocate with chesed and rachamim. Isn't that amazing? Chesed and rachamim is the reward for tzedek and mishpat. Fascinating. And that's what it says over here. Ki atzedek v'amishpat shetasi lo yiyu kidum. I'm reading further in the Mitzvah Stavid, the long line. Ki atzedek v'amishpat shetasi lo yiyu kidoim le'ashpia loch toiva merubo kezois. It's you're not worthy. In other words, Hashem will give us more than we deserve. Hashem will give us because of the tzedek and mishpat that we have done.
Interesting.
The reciprocation will be more than what we deserve for our tzedek and our mishpat. Let's read the words one more time. And the Dibur HaMazal is very important. But tzedek v'mishpat ba'avur hatzedek. Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I made a mistake. Bavur hatzedek v'hamishpat shetaasi, that I will do. So maybe I'm making. Maybe I could be that I'm quoting from a different mefarish. We have to see what Rashi says. What does it mean, shetasi? Who's the shetasi going on?
It means that
she will do. She will do, shetasi. She will do, oz.
Feminine.
Chesed v'racham she'eseimach. I will do. So it's a reciprocation. She will do, and the chesed v'racham that I will.
She's Klal Yisrael.
And he is Hashem. Hashem is always the chasan. Ki atzelek v'amishpa shetasi. The tzedek and the mishpat that she did, lo yihyu kadoim, will not be sufficient lehashpia lach, that I should reciprocate and give you the toiva meruba kazos so much. Oid chesed verachamim. So the words are not so clear, but he seems things that the chesed and the rachamim is going to be in greater proportion than the tzedek and the mishpat that we have exercised throughout our galus. Okay, next pasuk.
Even though we have not done all that much for you,
right,
we'll nevertheless
still give you chesed and rachamim.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful thing over here. What is it? Rasachli be'emuna, in the reward. B'schar ha'emuna she'emanta, because she had faith in me. V'yodat v'tzun olema os tasik ha'saga g'dolel l'das Hashem. Then you will achieve this very great ha'saga to know Hashem. The ultimate goal is v'yodat es Hashem. You have this in parish in v'yodu mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. It says, there are multiple psukim in the whole story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the goal is that Paro and the nation of Egypt should know, and we as well should know, v'yodat ki ani Hashem et ayam Hashem. Das is the ultimate goal. Ato chonein le'odam das. Soif machshava, soif maisa v'machshava techila. The goal is to come to Deya. Deya is knowledge, clear knowledge that Hashem is in charge. Now this is the words of the Mitzvahs. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi is a little bit different. Rashi jumps back and forth between the Medrash and Pshat. Back to Pasik Chafalef. Ve'rastichli li'ol ve'rastichli Rashi b'tzedek v'mishpat. She'tisnahagu bohen. You, the Jewish people, will accustom yourself to tzedek v'mishpat. Exactly what it says in the Mitzudo Stavit, there is reciprocation. You will do tzedek mishpat, you will be rewarded with chesed and rachamim. And now he gives examples of this pattern in our history. The Avraham Avinu Ksivit says, Ki Yidativ, Hashem says, why do I love Avraham so much? Ki Yidativ, Leman Asher Yitzaveh, he will command his bonav, his children, goes with the whole pasuk, la'asois tzedakah u'mishpat. Because Avraham is so kind, is so will instruct his children that they should do tzedakah u'mishpat, which means he'll eat tzedek u'mishpat. Therefore, Hashem goes on to say, I'm going to reciprocate, I'm going to make him into a great nation. I'm going to make him, his children will be blessed and will have Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will reciprocate with chesed and rachamim in reward for the tzedek and the mishpat of Avraham, not just himself, but this that he trains and passes on this to his children. Next, uchenegdo nidnu lebonav chesed rachamim, the eizek l'shparach hu shenemar, the nosan l'cha rachamim. The psukim, they actually go, there's a different pasuk, but it's different, but it's piecing these things together. The shamar, Hashem lokech l'ches habris v'yesach chesed. If Chas v'Shalom Klal Yisrael will cease from doing tzedek or mishpat, like we find in Amos, ha'hoifchim l'la'ana mishpat utztaka la'hoifchim l'la'ana mishpat utztaka la'aretz hinichu. The pasuk there says Hashem will turn you into wormwood. L'la'ana is a type of bitterness. Hashem ha'hoifchim l'la'ana mishpat Kama, Utstakal Aritanihu. The Jewish people transformed Mishpat Lila Ana. Okay, I don't know what the pasuk means exactly, but it sounds like
something
bitter. That Mishpat was Mishpat. No, this is an Amos. This is a Ha'ifchim Lilana Mishpat Utstakal Aritanihu. The pasuk there says that the Jewish people have abandoned, they have abandoned Tzedakah, which means in this case tzedek, and they have it's detestable in their eyes mishpat. Everything is corrupt. Corruption is the name of the game. That's the norm. The only way you can get things done is through bribery. Don't go through the legal system. If you go through the legal system, it's a dead end. The only way to get what you want is to bribe the judges. Unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on today as well. Af. So if this is our attitude towards society is set in such a way, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu osaf mehem hachesed veharachamim shenemar ki osafti es shloimi me'es hamazeh es hachesed v'es harachamim. Hashem, I will ingather, take back, withhold, withdraw my mida of chesed v'emes in punishment for you detesting Nishbat, and for you withholding from this world tzedek. Then the pasuk goes further. When Kalishol will return to do tzedakah mishpat, yigalu, we will be redeemed. Shenemar, tzion b'mishpat tipodem. Tzion will be redeemed through mishpat. Through mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moisif aleim racham. Then when we act with mishpat, the reciprocation is. Hashem makes him a crown. I don't know what that means. Four?
It means Pitzedek, the Mishpat, the Chesed, the Barachim.
For the four things. And Hashem puts Klal Yisrael Biroishan on his head. Okay, he puts us in front center. Hashem puts us front center. When we there's a beautiful this idea. It's a beautiful idea. Is that these two always we find in Tanakh a whole new Yisai to understand this idea. There's always reciprocation. There's always a balance, a parallel between tzedek umishpat on our part and Hashem's reciprocation of chesed and rachamim. I think many of us think that the chesed rachamim is our part. Hashem is the man that we should do chesed. We should be people of Rachmanim. No, that's not what Hashem's primary.
We can never do tzedek and mishpat.
What?
Tzedek and mishpat is not something that a human being can do.
You can do it the best that you can. But it's not true. Why is it not true? We live in a society that we all know people are victims, and there's nowhere to turn. People are victims of all different types of abuses, whether it's money, whether it's psychological abuse. And people feel lost. The system is broken. There's nowhere to turn. And instead, the newspapers are filled with chesed organizations. There will be a chesed organization for everything you can possibly want until you need them. Until you need to discover they can't help you anyway. I had some of those situations. What?
We're a complicated.
So over here, the pasuk is giving us very stark mussar. He says instead of having in the newspaper from end to end chesed organizations, there should be in the newspaper tzedek. Mishpat and tzedek organizations. If you feel that a crime has been committed, come to us. We're going to take care of it. You need a bezdin. You need a bezdin. You know, today, go to a bezdin. It's a nightmare. Everyone knows go to a bezdin. It's a nightmare. There are very, very few. You know, it's a whole and it's expensive also. So that no one's coming to pay the fee for. When it comes to a bezdin, you're gonna have to shell out big, even a hazmana. Someone told me that he has a din Torah. He has someone. It's clear as day that he's the winner, and it's at least his, from his side, right? And he's telling me it's just not fair. And the whole thing. He told me it's $8,000, but it's gonna cost him $3,000 to win. $3,000 because
$4.50 an hour.
Because that's the expenses. That's what it comes out to. So
I think that's much cheaper than the civil court.
No, he told me it's not. He told me that's actually part of the thesis. He says to me, you know, if you go to a court, if you go skip the bezin, you go to court. So right away, that's an avera. That's ve'ele hamishpat masher tosim lifnehem v'loy lifnei akum. It's one of the worst things you can possibly do. It's a chil Hashem. It's a terrible thing to do. But he says, no, in civil court it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper. But in this, my instance, it's very, very little. It's $500, he said to me. The whole thing will be very, very cheap to do it. So he says, you can't blame people. People have a situation just like me. $8,000 lawsuit. I'm going to win for sure. I'm going to have to pay $3,000 just to go through the whole legal proceedings in the bezdin with the toyanim and the dayanim and the whole process, whatever it is. If I go to court, it'll cost you $500. So are you going to blame people who go and they skip bez and they go to court? He says it's a very big nesayon. It's a very, very big nesayon. If you go skip bez and you go to court, so right away you're banned. Right away you have a reputation as being a person who's not a baal halacha, ruins this shidduchim, ruins that. It's a big problem. And there's no one that's addressing the problem. There's no one to talk to. There's no one addressing the problem. And this, he says, he claims, this is ma'is l'machol yom, these type of things. Is he right? Is he not right? I don't know. I know one person. Anyway, there's a lot of stories about Bati Dinim. It's a very, 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 very big problem. And over here, you learn in Musa Haskell, and this pasuk is a very stark pasuk. What we're learning over here today in pasuk is that the tzvi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a tzvi that we be Baalei Chasodim and Rachmanim. That's natural, Mimela. Klal Yisrael Mimela, that's natural. We're Baalei Rachmanim. It's not our nature to be Tzedek U'Mishpat. And the avoida of the dar of Klal Yisrael is to be a nation of tzedek u'mishpat. If there will be tzedek u'mishpat, mimela there will be chesed v'rachamim. We have the wrong focus. We have the wrong focus in life. Okay.
You know, the Beis Din doesn't have any enforcement powers either, so you can win in Beis Din and you never get...
No, they do a lot. Today a lot of that has changed. I don't know all the details, but the courts are very happy with the Bati Dinim. They love the Bati Dinim because they're not interested.
Because they sent us, even in civil courts, they're arbitration, so the Bati Dinim...
They serve the arbitration. The problem, this is the very big problem with going to a Beis Din. That's why people don't want to go to Beis Din, because there is no what's it called? Appeal. There's no appeal. If you go to a court, you have a case, $8,000, right? I go to court. It'll take me a year to go to get a judge to hear the case. Maybe it'll take 2 years to get a judge to hear the case. I lose. Guess what? It's not over yet. I appeal the case. It'll take another 2 years, right? I'll spend my whole life fighting over a few dollars. What?
The other side of that is the way the civil court is, the side with most money always wins in a civil case because they just keep appealing and appealing for the other
side
out of money.
Well, that's true. That's true in the big, heavy-duty cases where you need heavy-duty lawyers. When you deal with small claims court, it's not necessarily true. That's what this fellow told me.
There's no appeal from small claims?
No, he told me there is.
Yes, there is.
There is?
No, depends. I don't know.
It depends. I don't know. Listen, you can't generalize. You can't generalize. Let's not generalize. But this...
It depends who's adjudicating the case, if it's a referee or a judge.
We have to get a lawyer here to tell us.
And if it's a referee, you would
to discuss these issues.
You have a lawyer in the house?
They charge too much money to get a lawyer. I don't know the answer. You're saying good. I don't know. This is what I've been told. You have to know that there are many, many factors. I don't know, but I've been told there's a general problem going to Beis Din. The courts love Beis Din.
Why is that? Because
they're busy. They're too busy.
Yeah.
It's not. No one's going to blame. No one's going to blame the court.
In many cases, they aren't.
What? The Nazis? What?
Beis Din is not perceived very often as fair.
Fair. Okay.
And believe me, that's true.
Okay, we know that, right? So the problem is a very big problem with going to Beis Din. The problem is that one of the main problems is there is no appeal. If someone loses the case, and you claim the whole thing was rigged, and the dayanim were all bribed, the dayanim were all, they just didn't spend the time to understand what's going on, and the Beis Din Paskins, you're guilty, and the Beis Din, the way when you go to Beis Din, you basically, the court says, we will enforce the decision of Beis Din. If you don't want to pay, what you will take, will seize your assets, will freeze your bank accounts. But I want to appeal the case. Too bad. If you agree to go to Beis Din, there is no appeal. Whenever the Beis Din decides, and they submit to us as a decision, that's the end, and we will even seize your bank account in order to carry out the law, whatever Beis Din has handed down. If I skip Beis Din, and I go to court, and I lose in court, I don't know what you're saying, you're right, I don't know all the different, there are many different types of system, but there is usually a way where I can appeal the decision that I feel is corrupt.
I can.
So people go, and they have a lot of money, let's say, talk about even that small claims, they have a lot of money, okay, you talk about the Hasidic dynasties, Satmar, these are no big secrets, Satmar and Babov and Lubavitch, okay, you talk about the three biggest Hasidic dynasties, where were all their disputes settled? Not in Beis Din. They were all settled in court. So isn't that the ultimate chil Hashem for Klal Yisrael? That we are religious Jews, first, the fact that we were fighting, that is a chil Hashem, and the fact that the only way we can settle out dispute is only in a secular court, this is a chil Hashem on top of a chil Hashem, with a cherry on top. and there's no answer. You can't give me any answer to justify why this is not the ultimate chil Hashem. I'm not receptive to finding any answer. I'm not the only one who says this.
The claim is that they got the dispensation to go to a court. You know, the Beis.
Right. That's the technical header. That's a technicality.
Right.
But Saif calls Saif. You're right. Technically, I call halacha. There's no violation of halacha. It says in the pasuk, "Ve'elaham mishpat masher tos nozem." Is it the spirit of the law? Definitely not. And when this is, and this is on the front page of the New York Times every single day, what's going on? You can't tell me that this is a kiddush Hashem. I'm sorry, you can't say that. So what's the answer? The answer really is that everyone needs an option to appeal the decision. You cannot go into a case involving millions, tens, hundreds of millions of dollars, dividing up a dynasty of who knows how many people, where there's not going to be an option to appeal the decision. It's a real problem. So why doesn't the Beis Din, why can't we set up a system where the Beis Din can make a decision, and then there will be some type of method to appeal the decision to a higher Beis Din or some other technique? I don't know. Everything is progress. Problems lead to progress. Progress leads to more problems. There's a vicious cycle. So we are still in our history in the middle of this cycle where we have not found a solution in order to avoid the Chil Hashem. It's unavoidable. Let's not make any mistake about it. I would be no different. No one would be any different. There are things in this world, that's the way they are. You can't, Beis Din is Wilm Golis. Beis Din is very limited. They're limited, and people need Pikuach Nefesh. It's Pikuach Nefesh. So what are we supposed to do? So you have no choice. I'm not saying that you can't.
You don't have any unity. I mean,
right, exactly. So we'll engulf us. Right, let's go by it. Okay. But let's at least keep this idea. I think it's a very powerful idea. What the Rashi and the Mishnah are teaching us is that Hashem's ikur tevia on us is tzedek and mishpat. We today certainly have the wrong perspective. We're focused on chesed and rachamim. It's gewaldik, gewaldik. B'nei Yisrael, b'nei rachmanim ninu. But that's not what Hashem is tevea. Hashem is tevea justice. Right, Belsky, they wrote a biography of Rybelski. We recently got to read the biography. Unbelievable, unbelievable biography. Rybelski, this came out by the Levaya also. He had this, he thrived on Mishpat. He thrived when he saw a person that an injustice was a victim. He mamish, this was his lifeblood to correct injustice. Someone was abused, someone was robbed, and everyone just turned away, they don't care. He always says, no, this is corruption. This is sheker. How dare you, how dare you? And he took a very strong stand on, and we've lost our greatest warrior in this matter. You read story after story of Rybelski, it's all about his, like, mishpat. I couldn't care less. It's not popular. I doesn't care. It's not politically correct.
He wasn't around to make people happy. He wanted to do what was right.
what was right, and he was not politically correct.
The Kashrus community respected what they wanted to know what he said because he gave his true opinion.
He was their conscience.
He didn't look over his shoulder.
He was their conscience. He was the MS. You want to listen to him, not listen to him? That's one thing. But you know, you need a person who serves as the moral conscience of everyone else. You think twice before you do something because you know you're going to run up against a brick wall. Okay.
Now, the community magazine has an article about this.
What I just said?
And not yeah. And something, and there is another newsletter. They making decisions. They list the halacha, the mishnah of this, but they say they taking into account the law of the land.
Right. There's no such thing as Man Hazeh. The first rule in Shulchan Aruch is in Chosha Mishpat. No one today is on a level where they can pass in Chosha Mishpat. It's beyond the depth of Psak in Chosha Mishpat. Money matters is so deep. It's qualified. So today, Bat Didim is really dispute resolution, arbitration. That's what it's turned into. It's not really halacha. You have Toyanim. You have people who say you try to figure out. Basically, in halacha, what does Shulchan Aruch say? But you acknowledge, are we really clear that it is the halacha? So there is arbitration. You have a case, 80, so you'll make a pshar. Pshar does not mean 50-50. Pshar means 90-10, 85-15, case 60-40, based upon the principles of halacha. You take everything into consideration. The better business you have, then the more they'll be able to decide. Problem is, there's a very great shortage of Talmidei Chacham that are knowledgeable in this matter, and those Talmidei Chacham have to make parnasa, and they're busy with a million other things, and they cannot be devoted to paskin these halachas, spend these halachas the whole day, unless there will be someone that there will be a fund, there will be some type. So Baruch Hashem, we have in the Kalali show, we have funds for very important things. For people that are sick, I mean, there's nothing to talk about. These are incredible things. Millions of dollars are going to fund chesed organizations, and no one's taking away a mashu from that. But there's no millions of dollars going to fund batei dinim, a person's a victim. I can't afford even the hazmana to a din Torah is $600.
Really?
This fellow, he told me it's $8,000. It's an $8,000 din Torah. He owes me $8,000. Samamish Aganov, it's clear as day to me. He doesn't want to pay me. What am I going to do? I'm going to take him to court. I go to court. My shidduchim for my grandchildren are all over. My grandchildren. I'm not talking about my children. They are. My grandchildren. They'll say the Zayd is a Ganov. The Zayd went. This is the society we live in today. The Zayd is a Ganov because he went to secular court. So I don't want to go. I don't want to go affect my grandchildren. I don't. What do I need it for? What do I need it for? $8,000. I need it for. So I have to go to Besdin. Besdin. Okay. First thing is Hazmana to Adin Torah. $600. For the Hazmana to Adin Torah. And then we first get started. The whole thing will end, and it cost me $3,000 to get to, I'll win $5,000. So how come there isn't millions of, what?
You have to hire a special.
Right, so that's what I told you. The whole thing will come out at the end of the day, $3,000. This is what he told me in the car. He owes me $8,000. The only way I can get back my $8,000 is by spending $3,000. If I go to court, secular court, I would get it, it would be cost $500. That's what he claimed. That's what he told me. This is what he tells me. Everything, there's always another side to the story. So you have to just take what, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what he tells me. So how come we don't have in Klal Yisrael funds? There's a Besdin. These people are paid very well, full time. This is what they do. Hazmana for a Din Torah is $5. Just don't take advantage. So we'll charge you $5 for the Hazmana to a Din Torah. $10, maybe even $50. $100. $600, a lot of money for Hazmana to a Din Torah, just to get going, just to get started. Not so simple. So Hashem says, maybe, you know, not all the chesed organizations are so important. They're important, but maybe we should divert some of your funds, Klal Yisrael has money for things, for tzedek and mishpat. And if you'll do that, then maybe I will reciprocate. You won't need the chesed organizations. People will, I will make sure that things in Klal Yisrael go well. So we won't need to come on to all these problems of having all these new chesed organizations. That's what the pasuk is saying. Instead of you focusing on the chesed and the rachamim, I'll take care of that. You spend your money focusing on the tzedek and the mishpat. I'm talking to the walls. You can't change anything in this world.
Although now you have these
kolels
of chosha mishpat.
Okay, they're always in
kolels
of chosha mishpat.
Among young talmidei chachamim that are starting to develop. A little bit.
Much more today. Because today there's so much learning, everyone needs to find a niche. So today, Baruch Hashem, that's right, but Rabbi Belsky, the last years of his life, he had a Chayshe Mishpat Koyla. You see now, there are a lot of you see all over. It's a niche, because there's so much learning, you have to find a niche. Look, I find that there's a renaissance in Nach, among Haredim. It's remarkable. You go into the Svarim store, almost every time I go in, there's a new Sefer on one of the Sefer Nach, Nevi'im. It was never like this. Years ago, go back 20 years ago, who even knew there's something called Hoshea? Maybe if you're lucky, the Chumash, they didn't even say in the Chumash from where the Haftarah came from. What's Hoshea? Oh, Yehoshua ben Nun? What are you referring to? So today, Baruch Hashem, Chastei Hashem, this Bnei Torah, and this technology, we have this beautiful Shayasa. So we know there's Hoshea, and you go into this, wow, someone wrote a beautiful Sefer on Hoshea. It's like, it's just amazing. Chidushim, Yisoides. So that has spread to Chayshe Mishpat. There are people, Chayshe Mishpat Koyalim, and at progress. We're in a process of progress. And of course, there will be solutions that will come forth sooner or later. It's much better today, the body didn't tell you, than were years ago. You can't deny the fact. It's light years ahead today. Then it's still corrupt. No one's denying that. But it's still, I mean, my father would tell me, we'll just go on. We'll go as years ago compared to what it is today. And obviously, there's a lot, you know, things have to keep on moving ahead further and further. And with all the new advancements will come new problems. And for that, we'll need new solutions. This is the cycle of life, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can talk to the wall. You can't change a key who's there. This is the way the world goes.
What's the halakha justification for having a Kohen?
What?
What's the halakha justification for having a lawyer? A Kohen, is that what they call it?
Like a lawyer, why not? Why not?
Because the judges are supposed to be judges.
No, they're not. That's the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch, that no one today can know Chayshe Mishpat. You can sit and learn the Chayshe Mishpat the whole day from today until tomorrow. We don't have minds. How many of Moshe Feinsteins are there that can have a grasp of the entire Chayshe Mishpat? You bring a modern-day shayla, you have a business, this, that, a ganef. You know every ketzais, every svar of the ketzais, of the nesivis, and you know every kiva eger, beishmuel, you're able to go dayanim. You don't know Shulchan Aruch inside out. So you have people who specialize in these things, Elisha people, and they know all the good svaris, they know all the good arguments, how to win this case, and they present it to the Dayan, representing your client. And the other guy has a guy on his side also presents the svaris. And the Yanim, you have to hope, are knowledgeable enough to know the basic rules of Shulchan Aruch, and to hear the svaris that these Toyim are presenting, and to know which are nonsense, and which, oh, Tataka, you're right, you reminded me. Yutaka reminded me of something that I would have never realized this, I forgot about it. You reminded me, and Taka the Ketzoy says this, and Rekiv Eger says this, you know, maybe you're right. Am I 100% sure you're right? Because he says, Fakaret, I don't really know, you sound right, I'm in learning my entire life, I've done Batadin in this case already 1,000 times, it appears that what you're saying is the halacha. But I can't say for sure. And therefore, what we're going to do in this case is we're going to give him 90% of the money and you get 10% of the money. That appears to be fair based upon what is happening in this case. That's what Shulchan Aruch is supposed to do today, Bizman Hazeh. And the people who come to the Beis Din are supposed to agree to that in the very beginning. They're supposed to acknowledge that Chayshe Mishpat is very vast. Okay, there are certain things that are ABC. Okay, there are certain things, you're wrong, you're right, that's it. Case closed. There are things like that, obviously. But there are a lot of situations in business that are very, very complicated. There's another side to the story.
Absolutely.
That's the way life is. It's very complicated. And therefore, it's very... And no one today knows Chayshe Mishpat. No one knows. Now, you can't say. You're dealing with your idea. Is this a kesem? Is the woman a nida or not? So, you pass in the halacha. Finished. Is this food kosher or non-kosher? Kashrus. Yes or no? Can you eat or not? Yes or no? Money, if you win, he loses. He loses, you win. You can't just go paskin yes or no. It's dina nefashos. Every win is a loss for someone else.
The whole system is so against a person who's ani, right? First,
why is it?
He can't afford
it. That's right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem.
So that's
the problem.
You have the Gemara Kedushin. It gives a case where
who do you think, you know, it says somebody gave a mishpat and then he lost, they forgot what they said. So they said, let him retry the case. They said, but it's
not doesn't
the
work.
Same
you can't.
Thing. Doesn't work.
You're not allowed to.
Certain cases right. are discretionary to the judge, and the problem is going to be because he know if sometimes he knows one judge knows that this guy is generally a liar,
right.
and he knows it. He's a wise guy, and the other judge won't know that.
Doesn't That's work. How it is. It's a very complicated. You're right. The someone who's poor going against a rich man, you're dead in the water. Absolutely. The celebrity cases that you hear about in the news are always two rich people.
Yes.
Two very wealthy people who are fighting over millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
So they have plenty of money to burn on the lawyers.
Yeah.
So they're fighting, and the result is one wins, one loses, or they may whatever they do, and one of them walks away fuming mad, I lost, and the dayanim, they will never look at the dayanim the rest of their lives. And there's a lot of stories like this.
Yep.
And it's very, very sad. But you're right, if someone who's poor and you're going up against a very wealthy person for a few $1,000, I can't afford to pay the expenses. And they're right. I mean, would the dayanim work for free? No one works for free. They have families to support. Just like you have your business. They have this, what they do. They're entitled to a parnasa.
Right.
So it's a problem. And until we come up with a solution, everyone is, you know, it's thin. There's only that much money available in the community to...
That's a big kindness to have it. Of course they need the money, they'll stretch a case on forever.
That's to say such a thing.
Once the case is solved, there's no more income.
That's already saying, that's like saying that the dayanim are outright corrupt. That's a stretch to say that. You can't talk like that. I mean, I'm sure there are cases that are like that, but the average dayan, I don't think. My father was a dayan. My father dealt a lot about the dinim. My father couldn't. No, my father was the average type of dayan. It was such a nuisance. It's like you can't wait to get the case over. It's like the last thing in my father's mind. People are busy in life. You have so many things to do. To stretch it out is just torture. You want to get it over. In fact, they would make these like marathon sessions to just get this done with already.
You're saying the dying
part
takes
over
the
life.
What?
The part-time job, the dying
part? Most of them are, yeah. Today, 99% of them are part-time. The young are part-time. These are people who... People, they have a life. This is their niche. They have, some people are chush. Everyone has a certain... You know, a chush. This is what they get. They get
calling.
It. What?
Calling.
They're calling. No, but they understand. They're natural. They're very natural in understanding the laws. Some of them open up a chush and mishpat, but after 5 minutes learning the first simonim, not for me. I'm not for me. This is not my. I like to learn moed. I like to learn yerdeya. Chush and mishpat. Somebody they love it. They chush and mishpat is their life. Rabbi Belsky, he loved it. It's like if you could sit the whole day, they only would want to learn chush and mishpat. So those people, they have other jobs, whatever they do, and this is what they do. It's a part time thing, and then they just got to get out of the way.
But to get it over quickly, they make a compromise.
I don't make a it's established to make a compromise. People don't understand that chush. We come to a shayla about kashrus. You come to a shiloh about hilchos nida. It's that's it. The expectation is osur and mutter. That's the bottom line. Dinei minoyis. It's not the way it works.
No.
And ilchat chila, it's established that there should be compromise. It's a very famous verse. What? No, that we don't have that type of set. And in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when you had Talmidei Chachamim that Ruach HaKodesh and they had knowledge, then choyshe mishpat was just like a shayla of a bracha. What bracha do you make on the apple? They give you a psak. You win, you lose, case closed. Today we don't have that. It's all theoretical. It's all theoretical because no one today can tell you what the halacha is in a complicated case with absolute certainty in the modern world, dealing with banks, corporations, and lenders, investors, and all the different legal system, no one can paskin halacha lemaisa with absolute certainty. So it is set up when you walk into a court knowing that you're dealing here with a very complicated case in modern day America, you know it's not going to be 100-0. It's going to be a pshara. The only question is it going to be 50-50 or is it going to be 80-20 or is it going to be 90-10? It's not going to be 100%. That is the expectation.
Never 0-100, 0, no.
It depends. There are cases that is 0-100.
Yeah.
But when they're dealing with a complicated case, usually not. And if you go to court, it may be that you would get, it would be, there's a certain legal system, it would be 100-0. Because court in secular world, they have certain guidelines that they follow. We as Shulchan Aruch, we have different guidelines, and they're much more complicated. So people, it's a very big nisoyon to deal with all of these issues together, and the result is, it is a major nightmare. I don't have these nisoyonos. You have to be a millionaire to have these nisoyonos.
But I'm justified. I know Kingsway was dealing with a caterer, I didn't want to pay. It took like 3 years to
a caterer?
Yeah.
So where did they go, to the court or to a Bezdin?
No, it was in the contract, they would go to the Bezdin.
The Bezdin?
It took 3 years to just to get to the Bezdin.
Why take this to go to Bezdin?
Because this.
That doesn't make sense. I don't know. I hear.
And then shouldn't the president take, said yeah. He didn't want to pay, so he had to go to court to throw him out.
Okay. So he didn't want to pay. Bezdin Paskin, he's chayav to pay.
Yeah.
And
he didn't pay again.
And then, so then they went
he
to court.
Said, I don't make money enough.
So he took him to court.
In front of the Bezdin. And that's what.
There's always another star. There's always very. I don't know. This is. We all know. Listen. We all know. We all know that it's not fun. We all know. Now we are running out of fool's time talking about this. Let's see. Finish the Rashi at least. Rashi pasuk habeis verasikli beemuna. This is a very beautiful pasuk. Verasikli beemuna means beschar emuna. Emuna shemante begoyle lehaftachay shaal yidei nivya. It's an amazing, amazing Rashi. I appreciate the depth of what Rashi over here says. Rashi says here so much, it's just not to be believed. In the reward of the Amuna, Shemanta Bagoyla in exile. Lehaftochos, the promise is, Sha'al Yidei Nivi'ai, my prophets. Rashi over here is giving you it's an advertisement to learn Navi. This is probably the best Rashi to put in Hagdama, a shir for Navi, is that the reward of being Hashem's Kala. Who wouldn't want to be Hashem's Kala? Hashem is the ultimate chosen. Alamailas. He's tall, good-looking, has a great job, great family. Alamailas is like the Arizal. Adonenu Rabbeinu Yisrael Zev Luban.
Lobo.
Rashi Tevis Arizal. Alamailas.
Why do you say we adopt?
What?
Why does it say we adopt instead of we adopt? Oh.
Because a kal, because a kala, kala, female, feminine. Zocha will be viodat, feminine. So we have over here, in Golos, we want to be the kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to be the kala, we have to have emuna. The only way we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emuna. What's the emuna? What emuna? What does emuna mean? No one knows what emuna is. So it's the most complicated thing. What is emuna? So is that what Rashi says? It's amazing what Rashi says. The emuna here is lehaftochoy sha'al yidei nivi'ai. I always thought emuna means I believe everything is for the best. You have a difficulty in life, in a lot of pain. Emuna means this is Hashem's ratzon. Hashem wants me at this time to feel this pain, and I have to accept it and not be a boyet, not kick and reject. And say, Hashem, how dare you? I was so good to you, and look what you've done to me. That's Epicurus. You have to have emuna. Emuna means to accept. Accept the difficulty, recognizing it is what Hashem wants. Should you say that this is for the best? That's controversial. That's a very controversial thing to say. That would have gamzu l'toiva. When do you say Gamzu L'toiva, and when do you not say Gamzu L'toiva? There is, of course, a principle called Gamzu L'toiva. But you can't go say when a person is on his deathbed and he's in excruciating pain, you're going to say Gamzu L'toiva, that from this this is going to lead to he's going to become healed, and he's going to be, and everything's going to be wonderful. It's not. So you want to say it's Gamzu L'toiva in the next world? Is that what Gamzu L'toiva means? In the next world? I don't know. Does anyone know? I don't know. We don't know. How much do we take into consideration in the next world and this world? It's a very big problem. I personally feel that the balance is way, way, way too much. Everyone is trying to ascribe whatever happens in this world to some mystical event. This happens, that happens. If the plane lands in Canada instead of it landing in Eretz Yisrael, it's all mamish. This mamish mystical things going on, crazy, right? Totally nuts. I don't know. Maybe I'm nuts. You live like that. It's a sick way to live. Avada, Yevimuna. Avada. But every little thing you're gonna go and you're gonna ascribe. You have to live a normal life. And of course, you have emuna. In hindsight, maybe 20 years later, you can look back and you can see the hashkacha process in every little thing. But b'shas ma'isa, you live with emuna. You just go straight. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisoyu. You go weiter. You have to be healthy, healthy mind. So what does emuna mean? I don't know what emuna means.
So someone asked Rav Shimon Schwab, ama means conviction.
Conviction. Very good. Very good shmak. Conviction.
Conviction.
Emuna also comes from an oymen. Vayihi oymen es hadasa, a wet nurse. A baby knows from nothing. All the baby knows is when it's hungry, it gets its food. Just blind faith. Blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without... But it's not what Rashi says. Rashi here opens up for us an entirely new world. Rashi says, you want to know what emuna is? Go to the videotape. Learn Sifrei Nevi'im. In Sifrei Nevi'im, the Nevi'im have given you haftachas. They've told you, if you do an Avera, you're going to burn. If you do a mitzvah, Hashem will be good to you. Rashi says, Bishar. Everybody should take this, put this on the cover of every sefer Navi. Ve'rasikli be'amuna b'schar ha'amuna. What amuna? Shemanta, two conditions. Number one, shemanta ba'goyla. You have faith in me in exile. Le'haf tochois sha'al yidei nevi'ai. The promises made to the Jewish people by Hashem delivered through his nevi'im. And you don't need to go to Midrashim. You just need to see what it says here in the text. The promises, basically the words, everything is a promise from the Navi. Basically the messages, this is what will get us into the Gula. So how come we don't learn Navi? How come Navi is a topic that's been abandoned in all the schools? We're in Galus, and we need the Gula, we need to come to the Rasech Li Be'emuna, and no one even knows who Navi is.
It's a non-profit organization.
It's a non-profit organization. It's a very, very big problem. I'm not the one telling you this. Everyone is saying this. It's a very sorry state of affairs that we don't know anything about Navi. We don't know, including myself, we know nothing about Navi. And I'll tell you just a horror story. Someone told me yesterday, because I'm teaching a boy now bar mitzvah lessons for a few minutes every so often. So someone said to me, a bar mitzvah boy is very, very, very smart, and he chapped the whole laning very quickly, with precision, perfection. Laned the whole parasha, mila'el, mila'rash, shvanach, shvanach, every nuance, very quickly. And then he comes like a week before the bar mitzvah, and he says to his father, you know, the father, Tati, I have just really no satisfaction from this whole laning business. I don't know what it means. I don't even know what one word means in the parasha. I'm laning parashas, whatever, parash b'shalach, Shira, I have a clue. I don't have a clue what it means.
Wow.
What does these words mean? What does this mean? What does that mean? And just, it's just Greek to me, this whole thing. Maybe you can teach me. Maybe you can teach me in addition to knowing how to read. I can read perfectly. But I, so the father says, my son, I would love to teach you, but I don't know either what it means. But father, you say, you daven every single day. You say this in the Pesuk of the Zimra. I don't even know what anything it says in Tefillah means. I don't know even the first bracha. Maybe Goyle of Nev Neilman Shmobi Melech Oizem Mashwatsan Oizem Mashiach Umogain. What do these things mean? I don't know. And this is not someone from Wisconsin, someone from Mexico. This is someone Ben Torah, a person that went through the system. So this is scary. It's very, very scary. And, you know, so here it says, Emunah, in the end of Masechta Makos, it says, Bo Chavakuk Vehemidon Al Achas. There are Taryag mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs should we focus on? All Taryag, right? We're Orthodox Jews. Taryag mitzvahs. No. Taryag mitzvahs? We have to do them. But to appreciate what they're all about, it's not for the faint of heart. So you just go through mitzvahs anoshem elimuda, Chazal say, give you a green light. And you can just go through the motions. But at least some of them, a couple of them, you should focus on. How many? So the Gemara goes to whole Seder. I don't remember the whole Gemara. 30, they go 1, go lower, six. Until we go 11, 6, 3. Right, at least 3. And then the last line of the Gemara, Masech Demachus, is, Bochav HaKuk, Vehenidon Alachas. You only today need one. There's only one thing you have to really know what you're doing, and everything else you can just, you know, space out. mitzvahs, we have a heter bisman hazeh mamish from the Gemara Masechet Makos to live a blind life of mitzvahs anoshim limuda, to go through the motions, provided there is one thing you do seriously. Emuna. Bochav hakuk ve'emidon alachas v'tzadik be'emunoso yichya. Okay, emuna. So how do we learn emuna? What is emuna? What is emuna? You know what emuna is? This Rashi. Rashi. Ve'rasichli be'emuna b'schar ho'emuna shehemanta ba'goyla lehaftochoy she'al yidei nivi'ai. So that would mean that today the only thing we really have to do is forget about Daf Yomi, forget about Shulchan Aruch, we'll just do the best that we can. Spend time learning Navi. If you spend time learning Navi, learn the Musar Hashem, and you're good to go. Isn't that what it says? Am I making this up? Am I making this up? I'm making this up. The Iker Limud should be today Navi. And of course, Talmud and Shulchan Aruch and Smicha v'chul v'chul, but at least a little Navi, so we know what Emunah is. And Navi, the Emunah is not reading, I don't know, you go to the Judaica store and they have books on Emunah. I bought a lot of these books. Unfortunately, a lot of these books, they don't speak to me. They don't speak to me. Some of them, people they speak to. I mean, everyone has, to each his own. To each his own. And the Iker Musar Nemuna is the words of the Nevi'im. We had so much more to do. I can't believe I blabbered all the time here, but...